She has three strikes against her. One, she's female. No religiously correct man would let himself be caught alone with a strange woman, and he certainly wouldn't be chatting with her. Two, she's a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans don't mix, and they certainly don't eat or drink together. Three, she's had five husbands, and now she's with a man she's not even married to. She's hot stuff, and her reputation is shot. Other women go to the well at dawn and at dusk. They go in groups to stay safe. And as they walk and draw water together, they share the news of the day. She goes at noon. She avoids the other women, the stares and the gossip, the snippy comments, the icy silences. She goes alone. And there she meets a man who's not afraid to talk with her, a Jewish man who asks to share a drink, a person who knows her inside out, and straight out he offers her living water, water that will quench her deepest thirst. And she is thirsty, thirsty for acceptance perhaps, thirsty for love, thirsty for belonging. She accepts. He makes an observation. You're right in saying you've got no husband. But he doesn't condemn her. He doesn't accuse or judge or punish. He never demands her confession or a sign of repentance. He just observes. She realizes that she is known. And yet there's something about him. She's not afraid. She doesn't run away. Instead, she begins to wonder. Could he be the one, the saviour that they've all been waiting for? So she fishes. I know that the Christ is coming, she says. I am, says Jesus. I am the one who is speaking to you. What does she do? Well, now she runs into town and she tells everyone. She makes no bones about it. She tells them that this man told her everything she ever did, all that they know and more, and he might just be the Christ. The social outcast, the woman who was alone, hurries into town and proclaims that she is known, and she becomes Jesus' first witness. She is Jesus' first witness. Not the male disciples in town shopping for lunch, not the scribes or the Jewish men or the Catholic priests or the televangelists, but a lonely woman from the wrong religious group, living the wrong sort of life. And unwittingly, she echoes the words Jesus spoke to his first disciples. Come and see, she tells the townsfolk. Come and see. She invites them to encounter the Christ. And many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of her testimony. They believe because of her. And so they leave the town and they head out to the well. And there they find the sort of man they could never have expected. He's not your usual holy man. He hangs out at the well where the women go. He speaks with unchaperoned women. He ignores violently maintained cultural boundaries. And he doesn't seek out the morally perfect, but reveals who he is to social outcasts and outsiders. And yet something in her testimony and something in his teaching must quench their deepest thirst. For many believe. They believe and they proclaim, this truly is the saviour of the world. This encounter happened 2,000 years ago. We still live in a world that continues to ignore or silence those who do not meet the male heterosexual norm. Many Christians around the world and in this country still will not ordain women to ministry. Theological commissions on gender can still meet with no female representation. In our own lovely city, many pulpits and elderships are open only to straight men. In some churches, women are explicitly denied equal authority. And as for people of diverse sexual and gender identities, well, forget it. But we will never know the fullness of God's revelation if we only listen to white heterosexual Christian men. This story reminds us that if we want to encounter the Christ, then we better be listening to a wide range of people, unexpected people, for Jesus revealed himself to all sorts. Even before he was born, Jesus' calling was recognized by his mother, a young, pregnant teenage girl, who responded to news of her pregnancy by singing. She sang that God would throw down the proud, fill the hungry with good things, and send the rich away empty. So we better be listening to the witness of poor, young, prophetic mums. Jesus was recognized by men living with terrible social stigma, men suffering from demons or leprosy. And so we better be listening to the witness of people who are HIV positive, or people with schizophrenia, depression, PTSD, and any other stigmatized condition. Jesus was recognized by a Roman oppressor who wept for love of his male slave. And so we better be listening to the witness of gay and lesbian people. In the book of Acts, the truth of the gospel was recognized by an Ethiopian eunuch. And so we better be listening to the witness of people from other places, from other cultures, and with diverse gender identities. And Jesus was recognized by the Samaritan woman at the well, a woman whose reputation was shot, and yet whose witness was so profound that a city believed because of her and followed her to the place where they encountered the Christ. And so we better be listening to marginalized women with checkered personal stories. And if we too want to encounter the Christ, we better be putting these women into positions of leadership and following them wherever they go. I can't change the Vatican. I can't change the Sydney Anglicans. I can't change the other churches in this city. And I don't know how to queer up our own congregation. I don't know how to make this congregation diverse, but I do know that we must pay attention to these stories and be ready for whoever the Spirit sends our way, ready to listen and ready to follow and ready to see if they lead to Christ. Lent is a time of dryness, but the water Christ brings becomes in us a gushing spring that will never run out. What a wonderful promise. So let us be ready to hear the testimony of those who recognize him, however surprising. And let us be ready to follow them wherever they lead. And while we wait, in the words of Jesus, let us continue to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen.